same time as I'm attempting this merger.
I wondered that as well, because midstream, while things seem to be going fairly like his way with Joe Natale, you're going to change CEOs?
Right. And you're going to get rid of Joe Natale, who has CEO experience, who's the guy, because he's such a pro, he can make the arguments to the regulators that other people can't. And he's just a competent, experienced guy. And so why would you get rid of that guy, install Roger's CFO, who has no experience as CEO, in this job at this moment? The irrationality of that, from Edward's perspective, also was a kind of prime motivator for me as a dramatist.
And did you have a theory?
Because it seems emotional as opposed to rational.
Uh-huh.
And so you've got a father who never respected you. You've got a family who doesn't respect you. You have all of this power available to you that your family assumes you will never use. And so you're going to execute this thing. But now you've got Joe Natale. And I think maybe it's possible that Edward Rogers thought, if Joe Natale actually gets the Shaw merger done, he's going to be a hero and it'll be impossible.
This is the last stand of me having real power here.
Any kind of leverage to
even if
to
Joe Natale can do it, I'm going to betray my mother's trust, go against my sisters, put in my stooge, and accomplish the same thing, which I'm less equipped to do, but I'll prove that I can do it.
Yes.
And that's how I'll cement my position and show that Dad was wrong.
The way I break it down is I don't think he cared about the Shaw acquisition. He cared more about acquiring all of the power in the corporation. If the Shaw merger had to fall apart as a result of that, so be it.
Uh-huh.
That's my speculation.
One thing they're wondering is, if we're going to allow Rogers to become that much more powerful, is it a stable, sane company?
Right, exactly. And during all of this, the Shaw network goes down not once but twice.
Yeah, remember that outage?
Yes, substantially. And so literally one-third of the 911 access of Interac in the country. Suddenly, none of that works. Maps don't work. And so,
Critical infrastructure basically fails.
If ever there was an illustration of why we need diversity among the telecom industry,
fail-safes and redundancy.
Right.
Yeah.
And all of this happens. The Rogers family looks like a bit of a clown car. You know, these things are falling apart. Edward's wife is tweeting pictures from Mar-a-Lago where they're all in line with Trump at a moment when Trump is not particularly popular in this country. So a lot going on that would seem to suggest that maybe the Rogers family doesn't have a shit together, and the Rogers Corporation, it would be bad for the country if further consolidation is allowed in this sector, and still it's allowed to go ahead.
Still it's allowed to go ahead. And your hero.
Yes. Matthew Boswell.
Fails.
Yes.
So really, this is a tragedy. You've written a tragedy.
Well, he doesn't kill himself. Technically, to be a tragedy, you have to kill yourself or you have to die at the end of a thing. So it's kind of a comedy with a sad ending. But, and I don't want to spoil the play for anybody, but things change for the better for Matthew Boswell, mostly as a result of this, but also just because he's such a loud pain in the ass.
Well, with a teaser like that, I don't know how you're going to...
That's right.
Most countries, most cultures dramatize what happens within their cultures.
Yeah.
We tell stories about the rich and the powerful. We tell stories about the follies of the people whose lives and decisions...
If this were an American
story... We don't do
story,
that! You're the only guy doing that!
Adam McKay would have snapped up the rights to Alexandra's book
and
made... What's the movie about the financial crisis in 2008? The Big Short.
The Big Short.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of five movies about that.
Right. If this was an American story, he would have snapped up the rights to this book, and he would have made it, and the Rogers family would have been huge in the movie, and Matthew Boswell would have been big in the movie, too.
We have documentary versions of the Murdoch family. We have dramatized versions of the Murdoch family. People know who the Murdochs are through, like, jokes about, like, they are processed through American culture.
Yes.
We don't do that in Canada.
No.
But for the work of Michael Healy.
That's right. So I should be protected at all costs. Let's be clear that I'm going to ride my bike home from this, and let's make sure I don't get run over.
By Heritage Canada.
Yes.
This should be protected.
I should be fenced in.
Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you.
Oh, that was fun.
Good.
That is your Canada Land. I can be emailed about today's show at jesse@canadaland.com. I'm also on Canada Land's Discord channel, where I'm hanging out with my colleagues and hundreds of Canada Land supporters, and we're having some really good conversations there. You're very welcome to come join us. Bruce Thorson is our senior producer. Audio production and editing from Tristan Capicchione. Today's episode was fact-checked by Julian Abraham. Max Collins is our director of audio. I'm Canada Land's editor and publisher. Our theme music is by So Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca. Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it.
Canada Land, funded by you.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we are talking about the news. We'll talk about the bumbling mayor of Springfield, Manitoba, and why that mayor has banned citizens from recording public meetings. We'll talk about changes to Canada Pension Plan, which nobody seems to have noticed except for Andrew Coyne. But mostly we'll talk about the Irish rap group Kneecap. We'll talk about Canada's new hate crime law, and we'll talk about Strombo. He's back with a new look, viral misinformation. Didn't see that coming.
Feelings don't necessarily make for good policy. Your feelings, while invited to the show, shouldn't necessarily have a backstage pass.
Wait for that. Welcome back to the show, journalist, Substacker, and newsfluencer. You might have seen Isaac on Instagram or TikTok talking about the news. Welcome back, Isaac Peltz.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
An Irish rap group named Kneecap
has been banned from entering Canada.
Kneecap was supposed to play multiple sold-out shows in Toronto and Vancouver next month.
Deemed ineligible over what the federal government says is their open endorsement of terrorist organizations.
That's according to a post from Toronto MP Vince Gasparo.
I am announcing that effective immediately, the members of Kneecap have been deemed ineligible to enter Canada.
Well, Kneecap obviously not happy, as they are now threatening and have started legal action against the Toronto MP.
One member of the band is currently facing terrorism-related charges in the United Kingdom.
The terrorism case against the Kneecap rapper Liam O'Gohany has been thrown out following a technical error.
It seems like the Canadian ban might not hold.
For now, Canadian fans will have to catch them in Europe, where publicity from this case has inadvertently boosted ticket sales.
You following this one?
Oh, yeah. It became way funnier to me earlier this week when it turns out no one has any idea what's going on at all.
First of all, are you a hip-hop fan?
I am a hip-hop fan, yes. Hard not to be in 2025. I'm a big hip-hop fan, but I have never listened to Kneecap. Didn't know they existed until this controversy.
What happened on Monday?
It turns out they might not have been banned. It's a confusing scenario, and I don't think we have any answers yet as to whether it had been banned. Maybe on publication we'll have some answers, but for the moment, it's a little confusing.
All right, so Vince Gasparo, who's the MP in the riding where the Liberals asked me to run, a lot of Jewish voters in this riding. Vince Gasparo's not Jewish, but he's got to think about his constituents. I thought that might have something to do with it, the timing of this. So Vince Gasparo goes online, and there's a video of him, and he's speaking for the government. And we're banning Kneecap.
Advocating for political violence, glorifying terrorist organizations, and displaying hate symbols that directly target the Jewish community are not protected forms of expression and will not be tolerated by our government. That is why, as Parliamentary Secretary for Combating Crime, I am announcing that effective immediately, the members of Kneecap have been deemed ineligible to enter Canada.
And then it gets dug into, and there's like all this like haziness. Sources of the PMO are saying like, well, he didn't tell us about that. And then no one else was able to confirm that. He's accused of lying. I'm always hesitant, you know, never attribute to lying what could maybe be explained by some rookie MP not knowing what's going on. He's saying, I got nothing more to say about this.
In terms of the actual commentary, I have nothing further to add, and any further comments, immigration officials will answer.
It is unclear as to what the status is of NECAP, whether they're actually banned from Canada or not. So that's part of why this has become a little bit of a farce.
Yep. A farce is an accurate way to describe this situation.
Now, the case for banning NECAP, well, I guess it depends on who you ask. If you get your news from Strombo, George Strombolopoulos has been active on social media, and here's what he had to say about why NECAP was banned or why Gasparo might want to ban NECAP.
Canada has banned the musicians in the crew NECAP. Settle down. Let me talk about this. Because of their direct appeals to stop what's happening in Gaza, a position that millions of Canadians share. And the member of the government who made this decision made some pretty serious statements and allegations about the band that they have refuted from the very beginning. And I can confirm this because they have refuted them to me directly.
Okay. So according to Strombo, the reason why NECAP was banned was because of their position on Gaza. That's not true. We just had the Toronto International Film Festival. There were tons of celebrities in here who have taken similar positions on Gaza. Nobody was banning them from the country. It's one thing to disagree with the reasons for why Jewish community groups wanted to ban NECAP and why the government, some members of the government anyhow, seem to agree with that. But to just pretend that those aren't the reasons seems strange to me. The reason why people wanted to ban NECAP is because at a concert, here's how I'll put it. This is from an article in the Taii. Because even the way that those who acknowledge this put it is really weird. Footage emerged of a 2024 show in the UK where band member Mo Chara appears to chant, "Up Hamas, up Hezbollah," and wave a Hezbollah flag. And you'll read this again and again, that they are alleged to have said, "Up Hamas, up Hezbollah." They are alleged to have said this. Where could people have gotten the idea? Where do these allegations come from? There's a video. Let's hear the video. Up Hamas, up Hezbollah. He is draped around the shoulders in a Hezbollah flag. Now, just giving you the facts here, they later said they don't support Hamas and Hezbollah, and the flag was just thrown on stage, and that this clip was taken out of context. I don't know what the full context is. Like, maybe he said, "Everything I'm about to say, I don't agree with. Up Hamas, up Hezbollah." And then it was edited in a very misleading way. But I think that they said, "Up Hamas, up Hezbollah." And I think that he was draped in a Hezbollah flag that didn't just land on him. And if you watch the video, it's quite clear that they said these things. Just as they also said, "The only good Tory is a dead Tory. Kill your local MP." Those statements, they actually acknowledged and apologized to the families of murdered MPs after that came to light. So maybe it's okay that they said up Hamas and up Hezbollah. Maybe Hamas and Hezbollah, somebody's going to make a case for why they're great. But let's at least like stop talking over Jews and erasing Jews who are very clear about why they want this group banned. Because they consider Hamas and Hezbollah to be hate groups. They are registered terrorist entities that have long histories of virulently anti-Semitic statements. And to have NECAP come to Canada and lead chants, which happen at NECAP concerts, of Intifada Revolution, which I accept has different meanings to different people, is something that, like, that is the argument that Jewish people are making and disagree with it. But to just pretend that's not the argument, as Strombo for some reason did, feels like just really dishonest to me, super dishonest. Isaac, all of that being said, I don't want to ban rappers. I don't want to ban anybody. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I think we got to look at the context of this as well, which is in context with this new proposed hate speech law from Carney. You following that?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I think with the NECAP ban, it's interesting. I find it, the whole reporting around it has been confusing. The MP talking about it is confusing. NECAP shouldn't have been banned. Full stop. There's a lot of people in this country who feel that they feel sympathy, like a lot of sympathies for groups like Hamas. Hamas, for example, a lot of people, it depends on how you frame it. You can say rebel group trying to free Palestine versus you can say a terrorist, right? So there's a lot of people with sympathies, but this isn't really the question at the center of this. The question at the center of this is, are people going to have their free speech suppressed? And what is going to happen with Bill C-9? Right. And what is going to happen if we're going to start saying, well, you said this in support of someone we hate? Now, there is argument to ban hate symbols. Right. I don't think Nazi symbols should be allowed to be flown. In Germany, they have banned anything with Nazi symbols for good reason.
You're in favor of banning hate symbols, but the ones that you think are hate symbols and not the ones that you don't think are hate symbols.
See, this is a complex topic, right?
Yeah.
And we don't have a capacity as a society to have complex discussions, because I wouldn't consider Hamas a hate group. I would consider them an insurgency against an apartheid government. But then at the same time, it's like, well, in that case, should I be saying then we should ban Nazi symbols? And I'm like, well, because I'm not a free speech absolutist. I'm not. I just don't agree that we need to have absolute free speech at the cost of everything.
Isaac, you know from your last appearance on this show that we duly note stories to make sure that people don't miss important news stories. What do you have to point out to people today?
The CPP is going through big changes, the Canada Pension Plans. It is mostly invested outside of Canada first. It is good to note that. And it is making much less in returns than a good investor who is just investing a normal amount of money or managing somebody else's money. And it seems that with waves of people retiring, Andrew Coyne, a very well-known journalist, is one of the few who is covering this subject. The Washington Post, I believe, has also done some stuff on it, but mostly it's Coyne talking about this. It is not enough in the news. Very few people are talking about it, and people do not realize that there is a fundamental restructuring going on to the Canadian pension plan. It may have a serious problem in the future and may not have the financial structures to support the amount of people who will be on it soon. And we should be watching this all over the country as the media.
That is definitely worth duly noting and is terrifying. Duly noted. I have one. It's a little one. But the little things can matter. This is from one of the last city newspapers, independent city newspapers in Canada, the Winnipeg Free Press. Residents fight Springfield's ban on recording council meetings. News from Springfield. What is Springfield? Springfield is a rural municipality in Manitoba. I think about 16,000 people live there. And four of them say that their municipal government should not be banning them from recording city council meetings or town council meetings. What? Yeah, there are four people who have been recording their local legislature on their phones, and they have been banned from doing so. And they have enlisted the help of constitutional lawyers to help them in their legal battle against the rural municipality. I think we have to, as long as we still have a press in this country, the relationship between the disappearance of the free press and the ascendance of governments who don't want you to record them, there's a direct relationship, I would say. Correlation, causation, I don't know. But the fewer journalists there are, the more the powers that be will say, stop taping me, stop recording me. And fundamental principles about how democracy is supposed to be run in public. And I think we got to get over this thing. There's a lot of hesitancy within the dying legacy media towards figures like Karim Assad and others who are like basically picking up the slack and doing a lot of the on the ground reporting, whether it's at protests or in legislatures. More and more of this work is being done by people who look weird. They look weird. Why are they there? We're there because we're paid to be there. Why are these other people there? What's their agenda? Some of them do have an agenda. Some of them are unpleasant. Some, I don't know. But I feel like those of us who are concerned with press freedoms need to embrace the citizen journalists and understand that it's not about protecting a professional class, journalism as a professional class. It's about protecting journalism as a human right. It's the rights that we're protecting, not our industry. So with that being said, I'm speaking up for these four residents of Springfield.
Duly noted.
That is our show for today. Thank you for joining me. You can email me about it. I'm at jesse@canadaland.com, and I am active on the Canada Land Discord channel, chatting with our supporters and my colleagues here all the time. Come hang out with us there. It's a fantastic online community with really good discussions. Isaac, where can people find you?
I highly recommend that everyone go to isaacpeltz.ca and sign up for my newsletter. It's $5. It's almost nothing. Listen, that's less than a coffee in 2025. And I am insane. So, like, I do crazy shit, okay, man? Like, I go to the front of picket line. I'm, like, one of the few who's everywhere. I'm out there getting tear gassed and pepper sprayed by the police because I want footage of protests. And give me $5 so I can buy saline solution because that shit burns. Go to isaacpeltz.ca.
Game, respect, game. That was a strong pitch. Go. This episode is produced by James Nicholson. Our associate producer is Lucy Lemonnier, who also did the fact check. Mixing and mastering is by Caleb Thompson. Our director of audio is Max Collins. I am Canada Land's editor and publisher. Our theme music is by So Called. Syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music, which is included with Prime.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.